The common theme, I think, that links our readings together this morning is that of worship. Isaiah is speaking about nature itself singing out worship to God. The psalmist speaks of hope through worship. Paul worships as he speaks about the power and life of Jesus Christ that is now in him. And John speaks of these three characters, Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and the way that they worship in different ways. Now, we're told there quite clearly, Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. It's fascinating to realize that despite that incredible feat and witness there, nowhere in the Bible do we hear any words recorded of what Lazarus ever said. And imagine thank you was there quite a few times, but nowhere is it recorded. And yet, despite that, his life has the most incredible witness and power of worship to God. So much so that the verse that follows on, verse 9, we finish at verse 8 in the gospel today, but verse 9 tells us just how powerful that witness was, because the Pharisees are so concerned about the power of his life and the worship that his life is bringing to God since Jesus brought him back to life, that they plan to murder him, to get rid of him, just as they're planning to do the same with Jesus. So, you know, sometimes we don't even have to say anything particularly. It's that power and that witness of Jesus Christ in our lives that just shines out, that says it all. And you, as well as I, will know people, I am sure, that you can think of who've had that witness to you. It just shone out of them. And then there's Martha. Now, in Luke's gospel, we know that Martha, at the last time that's recorded that they were all together for a meal, she was really quite mardy. And she was having a right complaint to Jesus, saying, "Will you do something with my sister? Get her off onto her feet and help me." But there's no record of that this time. She seems really quite content. She is serving. She's in a different place. She's serving. You know, if our heart is right before God, what we do as acts of service and help to those around us can be a part of our worship. And then there's Mary, with that incredibly extravagant, lavish expression to Jesus when she pours that oil over his feet. Now, the fact that it's recorded that it costs about 300 denarii, according to Judas, is important because that equates roughly to about 1 year's wages. Now, I did a bit of research for this next statistic, so hopefully you're encouraged that I like to back stuff up with facts as well. I looked up what was the average wage for last year in the United Kingdom, and it was £25,000. Now, imagine knowing somebody who'd bought a load of perfume for £25,000 and then poured it over somebody's feet. I wonder what our reaction would be. Would we have joined in with the sucking in through our teeth and those negative comments? What has she done? She's got more money than sense. What would we have done, I wonder? In other accounts of it's not just Judas who was passing negative comments. Other disciples were joining in with it as well. But the wonderful thing is here that Mary isn't bothered. She's not bothered about the fact that people are talking about her and touching about it. All she is bothered about is her worship. And nothing and no one is going to stop her from her worship of Jesus at that moment. And we're told that she's at his feet. She spends time at his feet. As a result of Mary being at Jesus' feet, she's tuned in with him. She's tuned in with the Holy Spirit. And she expresses her worship in this wonderfully lavish, extravagant ways. She's not doing it for others to see. She's doing it because she wants to. And she feels the need to. That lavish giving in worship, costly giving. It's something that you might be recalling an incident with King David, which is recorded in Second Book of Samuel. David there is going to build an altar to give praise to God for the plague coming to an end that has struck down Israel. And as he approaches this milling house, which he's offering to buy because he feels that's where God is telling me to build the altar, the guy who owns it says, "Oh man, you can just have it because we need to worship God. You just have it, King David." And he says, no. I will buy it because I will not sacrifice to God something that has cost me nothing. And Paul speaks in Romans about that sacrifice of praise, that costly sacrifice of our praise. More about that in a minute. We might not be called, as Mary was there, to spend a year's wages as part of our worship. But finances do come into it. The giving of our finances comes in as part of our worship. But you know, when we give of our finances, actually what we're doing is just giving away something that somebody else gave us anyway. Whereas what we are being called to do in worship is give the most special, the most costly, the most precious and pricely thing of all. And that is ourselves. And that's what Mary does. She's giving out of herself and her heart. Now, Jesus said, didn't he, that to the woman at the well, he said, what matters is that we worship in spirit and in truth. That's we're giving of ourselves in our worship. And then no matter what we're doing, it's not about what people might think. It's not about trying to show off in some kind of a way. No, because God looks at all of that and he says, I know what that's about. Forget it. It means nothing. What I want is you. I want your heart. I want the very spirit of you. I want your love. That's worship. And that can be costly because stuff gets in the way to interrupt it. And I can give personal testimony to that right now, this morning. From the moment I woke up this morning, I've had the devil on my back. But he is not having anything of any victory in me, because what I decided to do, as soon as I realised what was going on, I thought, no way. Am I surprised that you are coming at me this morning in this particular way when I know I'm going to be speaking about worship? No, I'm not surprised. It's annoying, but I'm not surprised. But you are not going to have any victory The Lord is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn this around. And it's going to make me even stronger. And I had to get into God's word. And I had to start speaking. Again, those words of positivity. Those words of promise of God over me. To get myself right. Because, you know, the enemy knows exactly where to attack each and every one of us, doesn't he? He knows our weak bit. And he got me with it this morning. Trying to undermine me. Trying to stop. Trying to restrict. Trying to restrain my worship. That's what he does. And it cost because I thought, no, I'm not having it. And got stuck into praise. Now, the word in our psalm, the beginning of our psalm, how wonderful is that? Then with our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. That's what happens when we start to worship. Our hearts are changed. Our attitudes are changed. Giving of ourselves in worship is so important that we give ourselves freely. But how many of you, I wonder, like me, have felt restricted in worshipping God in a certain way because you've been worried about what other people might think? I really want to do this, but I better not, because what might people think? And so you get restricted. And God says, come on, put that to one side. Mary was not restricted in that. She got on with it. No matter what people might think or say. Do you know, I have known so many people across the years who've had a longing to express their worship in dance, like King David did. But have never done so because they were worried about what people might think. I've come across so many people across the years who've been restricted in their worship because they've wanted to sing out a song of praise or to speak out words of scripture in amongst our service together. And they felt that the Spirit was prompting them to do it, and they never have because they were worried about what people might think. And he goes on. People have been restricted in expressing their worship when they wanted to sculpt something, paint something, do a banner, raise their hands, speak in tongues, sing in the Spirit. Whatever it might be, and they've been restricted. We should have none of that. If our heart is right and it's not about us wanting to look good, but just wanting to express ourselves in our worship. For more freedom like that and less inhibition. And do you know, I can speak with personal testimony to the damage that a careless word can do to the expression of worship. Where for years I wasn't doing something that I long to do just simply because someone said something negative to me about it. We've got to be so careful about that, church. That we never do anything, that we try out to make sure that we never say anything or create an atmosphere that would restrict somebody else's worship of God. In whatever way it might look. The world is doing its hardest at the moment to restrict the worship of the church, so let's not join in and help them. That freedom of expression. You know, to close, it says in the gospel reading, after Mary had done what she did, the house was filled with the fragrance. Isn't that beautiful? That actually her gift of worship, yes, it blessed Jesus, but it went on to bless the whole house. because of what it left behind. Wouldn't that be fantastic that our worship would do that for people, that then they come into spaces. You know, you've done that, I'm sure, and you've heard of people who've done it, who've even walked into the buildings that we worship in within this Dale, and they've come in and they've just sensed that presence of God as the result of worship being soaked up into the stones itself and the atmosphere filled with the presence of God because of people giving themselves in worship. I remember on one occasion at our church in Normanton, it was before an evening service, and it was just myself and our vicar at the time, Jeff Cattell. And I walked in and I just said to Jeff, "Have you been burning incense?" "Yeah, I'm not burning incense. That's not what I do." And nobody burnt incense in that church for at least 10 or 15 years. But I testify to you, there was such an overwhelming smell of incense. I got it, Jeff didn't he? The presence of God that can reside in a place. Oh, for people to come through the doors of these buildings and to be rooted to the spot because of that presence of God in the place. That fragrance, that joy that should be in our worship. And that does not mean, let me just clarify, that does not mean that suddenly Dave Clark is expecting everybody to start leaping up and down. It's not about that. It might be. And if it is, get on with it, because you won't have any objections from me. All you'll have is a great big smile on my face as I see you doing it. That you've had that freedom. Doesn't necessarily mean that. It means in spirit and in truth. Whatever God is saying to you, do it. If it means singing out with all your heart, sing it out. If it means sticking your hand in the air, get your hands in the air. If it means just opening them quietly on your lap, open them quietly on your lap. If it means kneeling, standing, lying on the floor. Do you know what? Let's have freedom in our worship. It's what it means to you and what God is saying to you. And let that worship be that fragrance to those around us.